Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio today with Janelle and Beth and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time we were talking about how important it is to just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to be in constant communication with Him. And today we're going to be in Matthew 18, 10 through 20.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm so glad we went in keeping our eyes on Jesus, because as we go into today's passage, we're going to discover that it is about church discipline. And when we say church, I'm not talking like the building church. I'm talking the body of Christ. Anytime we are with a body of believers. And this particular passage, we don't cover the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 through 9. But 1 through 9, the question is asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus really points out the value of little children. And read one commentator, I think it was Philip Comfort, that he said that this point was made because little children, even though they would still have the seed of what would need to be disciplined, they are still in a position where they had to depend for their provision. They had to depend for people to determine what was to happen. And so anybody that would lead them astray, it was a greater responsibility because of the level of dependence. And the challenge he was trying to make with the disciples is that their dependence needed to be so that every aspect of what they needed was for their power, their position, and their provision of things would be dependent like a child. So I wanted to give that as an opening to get us to think of what's coming next. We're going to look at the parable of the lost sheep and then go into how to restore a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And he was using these to emphasize the point of what should happen, because they're asking the question, who's the greatest? And he's wanting them to be thinking through the responsibility of taking care of the other. And so the one who is greatest is really going to be the one who's going to be in hot pursuit to rescue the lost sheep and rescue the brother or sister that has fallen away. And so in Matthew 18, 10 through 20, so Jesus looked at the disciples and he said to them, "See that you do not look down on one of the little ones, for I tell you that even the angels in heaven will always see the Father." And so he looked at the disciples and he said, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the other 99 to go find the one that wandered? If he finds it, truly he's happier for the one sheep than he is for the other 99 that stayed. It's the same way with our Father in heaven. Is he not willing that any of these little ones should be lost? So if your brother should sin against you, you should go and find him and show his fault to him just between the two of you. And if he listens, then you've won your brother over. But if he's not willing to listen, that's when you're going to go with two or three others and establish a testimony of three witnesses. And at this point, if he refuses to listen, that's when you're going to go and tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as a pagan or a tax collector. For I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. For I tell you that if two of you agree on earth and ask for anything, the Father in heaven is going to give it to you. For where two or three come together in his name, there I am with them." May God honor the telling of his word. And so as I was preparing this passage, I was just surprised at how much God was unpacking for me. And I'll be quite honest with you. When it was time for me to come to the radio station, I'm like, I'm not ready to be done with the things that I feel I still need from this passage. And you would think, well, it's just a little parable, and it's just about the three stages of discipline. What more could you have? And we're going to unfold it, but I want to share with you. The first thing that I found is that there's a layout to this chapter that reveals the problem, the process, and the promises, okay? And so we'll look at that. The second thing we're going to examine is he goes through and he shows us the love, how this is really reflecting the love of the Father. And then the third thing is going to show what we ourselves have to protect. There's a responsibility of protection here. The fourth thing, we'll actually look at the process of the stages of discipline. The fifth thing is when we are taking the time to show someone his fault, what we need to make sure is happening, and that we need to do, number six, an examination within ourselves as we're doing this process to make sure we're guarding against a spirit of judgment or condemnation. And then we're going to examine the promises that we will hold when we discipline, because it's really hard in the face of discipline, so there's some promises we'll have. And then they're a form of power that will take place that we are given from the Father. And so that kind of lets us know what we'll do for the month. So as we've looked at this passage today, we're welcoming Tanya. She came in.
Hi, Tanya.
We got bad snow out on the day that we're recording, so we're all just kind of filtering in. We're glad you made it.
Thank you.
Okay, Matthew 18, 10 through 20. When we read this passage, told it, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What does it cause you to think about? What does it stir up in you when you hear about the lost sheep or the process of discipline?
Well, I think on the discipline, what really kind of convicted me was how easy it is for us to judge that person instead of taking our part in it. You know, sometimes we don't see, there's always two sides to things, and I think that's why the witnesses that come, they can decipher through all the emotions and the feelings and everything else, and they can kind of direct you in the right way then.
That's good. That's good. Anybody else?
I think that it's interesting that when we are to correct our brother, it's not just so that they are not offending us anymore. Mm-hmm. It's for their benefit.
Right.
It's to encourage them to be better and to bring them back into the community.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't have anything to do with us, does it?
No.
Okay.
I think the thing that struck me was, is I want to apply this to everybody. And like it says in 15, if another believer... So it has to be a brother and sister in Christ. It can't just be anybody that you know.
Right.
It has to be a believer. This is applied only within the body of Christ. It's not just, you know, everybody that you know.
Right. And in the Greek, the original language, it is actually brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is used.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Tanya, did you have something that you wanted to say?
I guess the parable of the lost sheep, that's something that I remember a couple years God was hitting me with, you know, am I one of the 99? when I would think about this and how I never want to be that and how I want to have his heart for the one that wanders and that and rejoices over coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's something I share with, I have the opportunity obviously at the Open Door Mission to share with a lot of women and they receive the Lord there, and this is the one thing I always share when I pray with them, because then they have a picture of his heart,
right?
You know, which is usually tainted prior to that.
So. Right, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, well, so let's look at the layout. In this passage, the problem, what would you say the problem is? And based on the parable, what's the problem?
Somebody has fallen in sin.
Yeah, a sheep is lost. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a strayed sheep, a straying disciple, a person in Christ that has walked away from that which is holy within the Word of God for how we should. What would you say, without going into the details, the process, just a quick summation of the process? Because we'll go into that in details in a minute. Just how would you describe it real quick in your own words?
Well, I like the idea that, you know, excuse me, the Word tells us to go to them first.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know, without gossiping about it or telling everybody on, which, you know, we have a tendency to do sometimes.
Okay. All right. And somebody, what about, can you see a promise that you just want to give us a hint towards before we go in and break it all down? There's some promises given in the last section of this passage. What's a promise we think we should just hold on to immediately, and we'll go dive in deeper in a minute?
When two or three or more are gathered, then God is there with them.
Right. He's in the midst of us.
His presence. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go in, and Tanya really nailed about the love. Mm-hmm. All right. And so let's go in and let's examine thinking through the parable of the lost sheep, what we learn about love and the restoring of the brother or sister. What do you find that you can learn about love? when you think of the sheep that's wandered and strayed?
Well, you know, you always tell everybody, and I always remember this in any study I've taken with you, is no matter what you do it in love.
Mm.
And I think when we see somebody falling or in sin, and it hurts us to see them do that, that you can't go whack them over the Bible. You know, you need to just go in love.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes I want to do that, though.
Well, absolutely you do. That's called restraint. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it has to be.
But that's when it's not time to go, probably.
Yeah. All right, how about y'all? What do you see about love?
I think it's kind of like, it's comforting that it's not a numbers game. It's not like the rest of the world has got it and I don't, therefore I'm unworthy and God will just cut me off. It's even if the rest of the world had it, which they don't, but even if they did and I were the only one, God would still come to find me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of like you always hear the fact that Jesus would have died on the cross even if it was just you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this just kind of reaffirms that if there's 99 out there, mm-hmm. and they're all good,
mm-hmm.
and whoever's lost, if it's me, he's going to come after me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like Abraham asking, you know, if there's one, you know, what did he start out with? I don't know, 50? Righteous, and then gets down to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God goes to one. That's right.
So, Sandy, that particular thing just wasn't part of what I wanted to share, but I'll say it because it connects with what you just said. I'm praying for America recently, and God reminded me of that passage.
Yep.
And, you know, so often we just think that America has walked away, but as I was praying through it, it dawned on me, I know personally more than 50 righteous people. People that really want to see God's hand move in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave me hope because it made me realize how much I would focus in on tearing down for the things we do wrong and stuff. So
that just shows you how the positive to the negative, what the negative can do.
It just encouraged me.
It is encouraging.
It encouraged me. Tanya, did you have something you wanted to share on love?
I just think this part is also about us.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
And our heart, mm-hmm. yeah. And getting in check. Because if there's any judgment, I know you mentioned that previously, but we can't have judgment. We just need to be brokenhearted that when we have a brother or sister that is in sin, they're disconnected from the love of God,
right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're disconnected from that relationship.
Right.
It's not all, they're not in a right relationship with him and experiencing all that he has for them.
Mm, that's so good. I found in William Barclay's commentary, some thoughts, and as I was praying through it, I added to it and adapted it, so it's not exactly the way he had it laid out. It's more in my words, but concepts, principles are from his. And as I was examining love, one of the things that occurred to me was it's very personal.
Mm.
I mean, each of you, I think, in your own way, kind of express that, you know, that he would go after me even if I'm the only one, you know, when y'all were talking. It is personal.
Mm-hmm.
One sheep.
Mm.
I'm going to leave the 99, and I'm going to go get that one sheep. And back in the Palestinian day, the Palestinian shepherds, they were communal. They didn't shepherd their sheep with one shepherd. What they would do is typically an entire village's worth of sheep would be kept together with all the shepherds. So they would have at least three, if not more, shepherds over the entire village flock of sheep. And then the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd of who they belong to within the village. So if one sheep should stray, they were able to leave the 99 in the safety and the care and the protection of the other shepherds taking care of the flock to go rescue the one. And so that helps us get the idea that the 99 are still protected, okay?
Mm.
And so this is a very personal love. It's all about making that intimate connection. The other thing that occurred to me is the incredible patience.
Mm.
But it's a patient love. It is, okay, somebody has walked away. The sheep has walked away. I've got to go and find the sheep. I'm going to have patience for the sheep that has gone out of the flock. And back then, they had to, because oftentimes they would take them up like on the edge of mountain cliffs, because they would have caves and they would create something that they would call the sheep gate. And the sheep gate would be like where they would have like a wedge of stones so that they could herd them back in, and then they would stay at the sheep gate. They would stand there so that they couldn't get out.
So it's protection.
It was their protection, and which is one of the points on love, is that it's a protecting love. But it's not just personal, and it's not just patient, but it's also a pursuing love. Okay, this is a love that recognizes I'm the one that has to move forward. And so often, I confess the sin that sometimes I think, well, they walked away, you know, and so I can get really, where I can get dogmatic and hard. And there are times when if somebody is denying Christ and walking away, that Jesus says, you need to shake the dust off your feet, stay with the one who disciples. But this is referring to somebody that it's astray. It's not that they have turned from Christ. Okay? And that's the difference. And so it has to be a pursuing love. It's someone that is willing to say, I am going to chase you down and meet you with Jesus.
And I mean, it's just, you know, you think about it, if we would fall, which we do, you know, we want people to come and tell us, and we want people to come and surround us and protect us and help us and love us through it, not just wave goodbye.
Exactly.
And ultimately, I think we get that experience from our Father.
Yes.
We do.
We do. We do, for sure.
Oh,
we
boy. Do. In my fallenness. You know, this is just a picture of God's grace. His grace. And I know just at in the treatment program at the mission, there's some women that have relapsed. And, you know, when they go through a time of relapse, there's shame. And there's embarrassment. And there's just feeling of letting people down. And I know that this has been a time where I've pursued them with the grace of literally of Jesus. And it's the first time they've actually experienced a grace that they're thinking they'll be asked to leave, but no, grace is extended, forgiveness extended, and they never go back.
That's
so beautiful.
It's so powerful.
That's so good. It comes out of passion. It's a passionate love. The word passion means to suffer, to sacrifice, and so willing to suffer that which needs to happen to pursue. So it's personal, it's patient, it's pursuing, it's passionate, and it's protective. This is the love that is emulated in this parable that Jesus was wanting these disciples to get when they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Let's ponder on that one for this week. Come back next week to catch the rest. We're going to be looking at other aspects of this parable and how it applies. God bless.